You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. An absolute ton of news today. 8 a.m. in the East, 5 a.m. in the West. Happy Monday to y'all. Corey, what's going on?
I mean, nothing much. What's going on? Good weekend, obviously. Well, you know, good weekend of... the fight this weekend was entertaining. I thought it lived up to expectations as far as the entertainment value of it. Obviously, for what we do for fantasy football purposes, it was caught weekend. A lot of caught rides this weekend. We saw some seasons prematurely come to an end with Spencer Ware and Cam Meredith and Julian Edelman. So definitely want to give get well wishes to all of those gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we don't want to see them get injured, even though how it affects our draft boards. But definitely, you know, that Meredith injury looks to be pretty serious. And you know, so we definitely want to, you know, wish those players get well soon. Wishes, you know what I mean? They won't be able to join us through the 2017 NFL season.
Scotty, how are you?
Doing good to see you guys. Had a good weekend. Two drafts. NFFC got another one cup coming Thursday. Play against Scott Engel League, 2 p.m. Eastern on the NFFC. Check out the bulletin boards.
Are we winning that?
Yeah, looking forward to you guys playing in that. And also, you know, got Madden 18 over the weekend, had a little fun with that, went to see Mom over the weekend, and also got some more subscribers for our new Platinum package on rotoexperts.com. You can get one-on-one personal advice before your draft, after your draft, throughout the season for myself and Jake Steele. Check it out, our brand-new Exclusive Edge Platinum package on rotoexperts.com.
Matty Mo, how's it going?
It is Monday. I am motivated. It is the big money week. The draft started last night online. This week we go live. I have my first big one Wednesday night. I got a doubleheader Friday and a doubleheader Saturday.
You get nervous?
I get it. It's nervous excitement. It's like that. You know, you start feeling it. It was like when I worked on Wall Street, I knew I had a big order and I was walking in that trading floor that morning.
Yep.
Like I couldn't wait to get there.
Sure, absolutely. Understandably so. And the question now becomes, will Kareem Hunt be nervous because he's the starting running back for Kansas City, a Kansas City team that has always ran the ball extremely well under Andy Reid, because that's what Andy Reid does. It is a team that is based on running the football, and now Kareem Hunt is the unquestioned featured back in Kansas City. How early does that mean we should be drafting him, Corey?
I think if right now, if you want to get in on Kareem Hunt, you're going to have to do it in the middle of the third round. And more than likely, some teams he's going to be an RB1. Can he sustain RB1 production? I think so. I think Kareem Hunt can be an RB1. I'm not putting him as an RB1 on any of my fantasy teams. I want him more as a 2. I've already have a ton of shares of Kareem Hunt, so really no reason for me to go back there right now. But Kareem Hunt is definitely a player that you want to get involved in. That job is his. Kendrick West is now draftable. And in round 16, if you want to put a dollar on CJ Spiller, I don't have a problem with that either.
Matt Modica, would you rather have Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook, who had been the first rookie running back off the board previously?
That's the question. For me, it's either or. Who's ever there, if I got to make the choice. I mean, Andy Reid offense is Robbie 1, 19 points.
Scott?
Either or, because Cook's going to be involved more in the passing game, but Murray might steal some touches. Ultimately, I'm going to say Cook, though, for the versatility.
We'll be back with more on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Scott, I know we cut you off a little bit there. When it came to Dalvin Cook versus Kareem Hunt, immediately both of your reactions, Matt and Scott, were either or. You got a 12-team league. You got the Super going on. You got your big leagues going on. You have to make the choice. You can't just say either or.
I won't say what I'm doing in the Super.
So. I'll say.
I've been open enough.
Look, it's close. Dalvin Cook, I believe, is more versatile, but you can't cut out the possible Latavius Murray vulture and goal line carries, which won't happen to Hunt. That's why it's either or. But I think for the versatility, you're talking maybe catching more passes out of the backfield. Ultimately, I'd probably go with Cook.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean with Scott here. I think you do go Cook. I think Hunt right now is feeling all the helium from over the weekend,
sure,
and all that buzz.
Yeah,
but you know.
What was that?
Helium.
The helium. He had to imitate the helium because he's six.
Bigger than you,
huh?
Bigger than you.
You don't know it's not.
Yes, it is.
All right, so. Dalvin Cook is the rookie running back that I have as the first rookie running back going off the board.
Okay.
The next rookie running back I have going off the board is Kareem Hunt.
Same.
Then I have Joe Mixon. Then I have Christian McCaffrey. Then I have Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette better watch out and make sure DeAngelo Henderson. Now, let me stop.
You already got Henderson and Chris Lamar Carson. Miller, right?
Yeah, he's a hell of Lamar Miller. Yeah. Chris Carson's a hell of Lamar Miller, too. Yeah. All of them had an Eddie Lacy bum ass.
One rookie running back who I mentioned toward the end over the last hour was an Alvin Kamara, who does not play in the third preseason game. There's a ton of hype coming out of him after the second preseason game. Matt, is this another one of those opportunities where you're saying, great, to press this dude's value because he's good?
Yeah, because he was moving on up. So if this does depress his value, I'm in. I'll buy that offense. If he does get that role, I don't know how things are going to play out. I'm still in on an Ingram. Peterson's not a guy that I foresee myself drafting. Hey, maybe he gets touchdowns. I don't want to bet against him, but he's not my guy. And Kamara, you know, hopefully he slides down a little, and I'll jump in and buy.
Okay, there you go. Julian Edelman tears his ACL over the weekend. A brutal injury for him. Brutal injury for the Patriots. Scott, how do we replace him?
Already, like, you know, people are asking me this on Twitter, and you know, it's really just about the best wide receiver available, which is probably not a guy that you could start. I think you probably have to look at making a trade if you drafted already. But hopefully you drafted for depth and you can just pop somebody in there. You know, like, you've listened to the show. You've gotten the exclusive Edge package on rotoexperts.com.
Ding!
Enter the king and check out for a special discount. If you're prepared, you can deal with these disasters, because you probably drafted Edelman maybe as a 2, maybe as a 3, but you probably got some good bench currency there if you're prepared.
Would you – here are some names that I've seen replace Julian Edelman if you drafted him. Kendall Wright, given Cam Meredith tearing his ACL. Marquise Goodwin, given what he did last night. Those are the two names I saw. Chris Hogan, which is a mistake. Those three guys are what I saw over the weekend.
I'd rather have Chris Hogan out of the three.
You'd rather have Chris Hogan out of
three? Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't. I'd rather have Marquise.
I don't think it's close for me.
Really? I'd rather have Marquise Goodwin.
I think Hogan is still good. I mean, he's Brady. If you look at the numbers I stated earlier, I mean, 81 targets, 55 receptions, and over 1,000 yards, that's regular season plus postseason. The postseason, he really killed it. So, I mean, you got to look at that. You know, when it was on the line for the Patriots, Brady went to him. I'm not saying he was going to replace Julian Edelman. I think James White will be the biggest beneficiary of that. And Brandon Cooks, I was always in on, so, you know. The one thing is, Cooks is probably going to go into the first round now.
Yeah, to me, Marquise Goodwin's not. Like, you know, that guy's like a one-trick guy. He's like a Devery Henderson until I see otherwise. Yes. You know, he catches a bomb and that's it.
Is Ted Ginn still that player, Scott? The Devery Henderson, considering he's in Devery Henderson's role?
I think he's better than guys like Goodwin and Henderson. You know, he is a big play guy, but I do think he can do some other things better than those other guys. If Goodwin's open 50 yards downfield, you hit him, boom. Otherwise, you're probably never going to see him. I think Ginn, you know, we've already seen that, you know, probably be more productive more often.
We're having an argument during the break, Corey, that you know, you didn't really get in on, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to jump in now.
Yeah.
And this is in regards to the New York Jets. And you have, and many people, very much, you know, Bilal Powell.
Yeah, I love Bilal Powell. Got him as a top 20 running back. He can be in the fantasy executive locker room any day.
Bilal Powell did not start for the Jets on Saturday night.
He's going to finish.
Bilal Powell barely played with the starters on Saturday night.
Yeah, because he need to be out there. He need to be healthy because that's who they're going to be relying on to run the football and catch the football out the backfield when the season starts. I don't want to hear about Matt Forte.
I think we have
the conversation about Matt Forte.
I think we do.
Matt Forte is washed, okay? He's toast. It's over for Matt Forte. The New York Jets, they can trot Matt Forte out there for, you know what I mean, a couple series. But when it's time to really get in action and for that offense to get rolling, they're going to be going to Bilal Powell. I don't care if Matt Forte is number one on the depth chart. I don't care if he comes out there on first and second down. Bilal Powell is the fantasy back to own for the New York Jets. And I'll draft him as a top 20 running back. I'll pop in my RB2, and I will beat your ass.
I agree with Corey. It's like, you know, he starts, okay, so he's on the field for the first play of the game.
I'm talking about you, Scott.
What? Well, you're 5-9 against me lifetime, you know, it's not like you dominate me. I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, he starts, he's on the field for the first play of the game. Big deal. These guys are at least going to share touches. And when they play from behind, which is going to be a lot, you're going to have Bilal Powell in there for pass catching. I don't care who played against the ones, against the twos. I think this was Forte's first game preseason, so they had to get him the reps. I don't care if it came against the second team. Bilal Powell had an 85-yard catch and run for a touchdown. He's a better NFL running back right now than Matt Forte, and I think it's going to be proven. I agree with Corey.
Well, you brought up this point that they're going to come from behind and get a lot of Bilal Powell. Since when isn't Matt Forte an excellent pass catcher out of the backfield?
That was in the past.
It's in the current as well.
I agree with Corey. I think he's washed.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I think the sun is setting on Forte, and I think even if he is like named the starter, Powell. Look, I really don't want to draft any Jets, but Powell would be somebody I would take, and I do see the upside. I mean, look what he did last season as well. So he's the one Jet that I would make that plunge, but I really don't want to draft any Jets.
I would take Robbie Anderson very late.
Yeah, I mean, and it may be late.
In like one of those cut lines or, you know, like plus 20 round drafts, I'll take a crack on a Darius Stewart.
From watching this Jets game, this team is terrible. Like, it is god awful. That offense is if Christian Hackenberg starts, I'm not sure that he is. I don't know how they're going to move the football.
McCown is at least a respectable NFL quarterback. And I don't know why they're not considering him. He is a journeyman, but he can move the offense.
They're trying to lose.
Bryce Petty actually looked the best of all of those guys, but he hurt his ankle.
Yeah, but when did Bryce Petty get in the game, too? And I know he looked the best. But here's, like you said, like Greg just said, Jets are trying to lose. The bottom line is the GM has to validate this pick on Hackenberg. So he's going to play as well. I mean, it's just, he has to, when you pay that price, when you purchase that draft stock on a quarterback, you have to at least put him in games and see what he can do.
Has he even led them to like a touchdown drive? I don't think he has.
No, no, he's terrible. Everybody knows he's terrible.
It's ridiculous.
If you would have made that pick and he's on your roster, how do you not put him in with a team?
You put him up, you let him suck, and you drafted Sam Darnold or whoever you want. And that's out of the next draft, and that's it.
We've seen a quarterback bust. That's it. It's over.
And we knew Christian Hackenberg was a bust last year when they couldn't get on the field. Now he's on the field. He's got zero awareness.
You know, I would say, like, you know, start McCown and say the kid is learning behind him. You know, at least spin it that way.
Well, I think McCown's going to start the season.
I don't know.
It's just how many games are they going to let him start?
McCown hasn't played in since the first preseason game. I don't know. I think they may just say, listen, we know we're going to lose. We might as well lose as many games as possible. Start Christian Hackenberg. I think it might be just like
all of them suck.
They do.
They all suck.
Let's go to the other side of
next question.
Let's go to the other side of that game. Let's go to the other side of that game with the Giants, where Paul Perkins, you know, he had a couple opportunities. He looked okay.
He had a 16-yard run in the draw play.
He looked okay. I thought this season I throw 600 times again. I think there's no doubt in my mind about that. But I said it last week after the Giants' second preseason game, and I'll say it now. Evan Ingram is going to be worth playing in fantasy football.
He is. I'm moving him up my board. You know what? I got him in both drafts over the weekend, you know, as my backup tight end.
He doesn't play every down. But the reason I think, Corey, he's going to have some success where other rookie tight ends have not, he's not really being asked to do everything a starting tight end is. He's being asked to go up the
slot, make a move, and
catch the football.
Yep. Yeah,
and he can do that.
He's on my radar right now. I've moved him up in my rankings to just about outside that top 20 tight end.
Yeah.
I do think he's draftable. I think that this is a change. This is going to be changing my opinion. I do think that he's going to have a role in this offense. I like 20-something other tight ends more.
Sure.
But I don't. Last week I was like, don't draft him. This week I said, yeah, he's draftable.
Yeah, he's inside my top 20.
I think he is as well. There's another injury I didn't mention during the first 20 minutes here that we need to get to, and that involves Matt Modica's team, the Buffalo Bills, where anything that can go wrong is going wrong. Let's talk about the Bills coming up next. Here are the Roto Experts more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
So a torn ACL for Julian Edelman, a torn ACL for Cameron Meredith, a torn PCL, it sounds like, for Spencer Ware, and a concussion for Bills starter Tyrod Taylor. And it's funny because on Saturday night I was watching the Giant game, Giants and Jets, and I during commercial went to the NFL Network because they were flipping between games, and the game that they had all the time was the Buffalo Bills. And they had the Bills on. I watched this one play. Oh, man, Tyrod Taylor took a bad hit. And the next thing I knew, boom, concussion. And then your boy Nate Peterman comes in. He sucks. Like I kind of told you he was. He's a fifth-round draft pick. But nevertheless.
I think eventually he'll be good.
Maybe. Anyway.
I think so.
I know. Tyrod Taylor leaves. Fifth-round rookie comes in. And we've said it before. That they have gotten the Bills, have gotten rid of every weapon here outside of LeSean McCoy. And if Tyrod Taylor, I think he'll be ready in 2 weeks for the starting, for opening week. But if he's not, this is, we're getting Christian Hackenberg versus Nate Peterman.
Yeah, that's going to be a terrible week one game. it's going to be terrible regardless. Let's be real. The Bills, when you hear they're not entertaining offers on McCoy, I don't know if that's just them trying to
posture.
Having some posture. The guy's 29, coming off a fantastic season. You're going nowhere. You got 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, 2 in each. If you can move this guy, you have to do it. As a franchise, you made that commitment. I don't care what you want to say. Don't tell me you signed Anquan Boldin. That shows you weren't trying to punt the season.
Send him back to Philly.
That would be the perfect spot for him.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. The Buffalo Bills and Zay Jones are going to have growing pains. I think that. You know, people. I wonder if there's one guy to own, Corey. It's a guy you've actually mentioned here a bunch. I wonder if it's Charles Clay.
Yeah, he can't stay on the field though, so he has problems with his health. It's a situation where you look at this. You take Zay a little bit later on. You know, I don't want Zay to go too high. You know, take him in that Chris Hogan race.
Well, that Chris Hogan.
It's a joke. I'm not. Don't touch Chris Hogan. Till the last round, but. Yeah, I think Zay is still ownable in fantasy. He's going to be weeks where you can pop Zay in your lineup coming off your bench, throughout the course of the bye weeks. Shady, still going to be first-round draft pick. I'm not touching Shady, though, I'll be honest with you, because, like I said earlier, what's the motivation for Shady to play this year? None. He's paid already.
I know.
Right? Contract not an issue. This team is not going anywhere. They're selling off pieces, so, it's going to be some days where Shady probably going to wake up some Sunday mornings and be like, F that.
Yeah, these guys look like the Buffalo Marlins.
The Buffalo Mets.
Now, then everybody would be completely injured. But Charles Clay had a nice catch and run, over the weekend. And, you know, maybe you take him as a tight end, too, and you hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I would really like Charles Clay, but those knees are shot. I think the receiver to own, if he's playing the slot, is going to be Jordan Matthews. Look, Zay Jones I like, but now they're asking him to go to the outside.
Yeah.
Not that he can't succeed, but you know, now you're adjustment. you're changing his role. So it's a lot to ask for him right now. I mean, I'd still draft him late, and I know a lot of people are like, I want all the Zay Jones because he's getting all the targets.
Right.
But, I mean, Jordan Matthews is there, and he's going to get a bunch of targets. And if he plays in the slot, I think he's the
guy. You know what's about the interesting and the dynamic between teammates, though, is that Zay Jones is adjusting going from the slot to the outside. Jordan Matthews already did that, so he can talk to Zay Jones and talk him through that. You know, he can help him.
Sure, yeah.
I was going. I know. This is maybe not. It's not really off topic too much because I'm looking. I'm thinking when you think about wide receivers like Zay Jones and Jordan Matthews, it makes me think of Randall Cobb.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, Randall Cobb's going to have a bounce back season this year. I'm feeling better about Randall Cobb. I think injury was a big part of his thing last year. I think you get. You know, he was healthy in the playoffs last year, and he put up some pretty good games. I think a healthy Randall Cobb is being underdrafted. So if you can buy him at a suppressed price this weekend or whatever, coming up the next couple of weeks, I would get in on him more so than I would get in on a Zay Jones. More so than I would get in on a what's the dude we were just talking about in Buffalo, Jordan Matthews.
Now, if say Randall Cobb does bounce back, does that affect the Adams?
I think Adams could take a little bit of a hit. Yeah. Not enough to make him fall outside the top, 20, but I think he can take a little bit more of a hit, Mr. Adams. But
that's
it's enough to go around in that offense and not going to be able to run the football?
One concern with Adams is if Cobb does rise up a bit, Marty Bennett's there now, and if he gets him, they haven't had a talented.
They don't really use a tight end.
No, but they haven't had a talented tight end there either.
Well, they had
Bigfoot.
They used him in the damn playoffs.
Jermichael Finley.
He didn't even throw the ball to him like that.
Nope.
Finley.
Yeah, but Finley
had a three touchdown
for a couple
game, and you didn't see anything for 10 weeks.
Yeah, so they don't really use a tight end enough for me to worry
especially
about Marty B taking away from
the
tight
end.
And the other
when they get
too
near the goal line too.
The
they don't use it
and
enough.
What about speaking of when they. Ty Montgomery. I think Ty Montgomery's going to catch some passes and get in the end zone.
So Ty
had a good run the other day.
Ty Montgomery returned to the lineup, and he had the game he needed, Scotty.
Yeah, he did.
He played really well. He converted a touchdown. He had a nice blitz pickup. Ty Montgomery played well and held off Jamal Williams.
He's entrenched.
Who didn't play
He's
well.
He's entrenched
exactly.
in that starting role.
And that's what I think we needed to see in week 3 of the preseason, and that's what we learned. He is entrenched right now as the starting running back of the Green Bay Packers.
But you know what, though? This is the Green Bay Packers, and I've been thinking about this. They put the run so secondary that they converted a wide receiver into a running back.
But my thing is that now that you have a wide receiver and a running back, I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. I think it's not something that Rodgers is always looking down the, he's looking down the field most. But if he has to, knowing he has this guy, and like I said, he made this adjustment in season. Like, it wasn't like he had. Now he has a whole off season. He's got the role. It's a dynamic offense.
I think he's still got to, work more into the role into an on field sort of role thing. He's had some good runs. I think he'll be the number one running back there. I'm starting to cool on it being a timeshare because Jamal Williams just hasn't looked good recently.
Oh, it's not a timeshare. Right?
Yeah, but he can't catch 50 balls out of those backfields. It's basically like putting a wide receiver there and saying, okay, when we hand to somebody, we're going to hand to you.
Who's going to score more fantasy points throughout the course of the 16 games in a PPR? Ty Montgomery or Rob Kelly?
Ty Montgomery.
I'll go Ty Montgomery.
Let me get a sweep.
Rob Kelly.
I love this guy. It's Mr. Rob Kelly now. Yeah, I love this.
You sold him.
I did.
You did.
I feel like I did.
Yeah, Rob Kelly.
You hated Rob Kelly.
I know. Okay. But Rob Kelly's a starting running back.
So it's Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, but Ty Montgomery's going to have people nipping at his heels. Rob Kelly's not.
I think some major paramount at some point will be.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen for
P.R.I. I think everybody got,
Scotty's Mr. P.R.I.
It's not going to happen for P.R.I.
It's going to happen.
That's one of the biggest mistakes on the board right now, in my opinion.
It's P. Ron.
I wouldn't pay his price. I agree with that.
I've seen him in the fifth, sixth. And
that's a mistake.
That's the mouse in the house right there.
I can get him in anywhere between the ninth and the 12th.
Oh, a couple of weeks ago, he was very high on your board, sir.
I got him in the ninth, though. What are you paying for Samaje Perine right now?
You shouldn't be paying anything for him.
I disagree with you.
He should be double digits, in my opinion.
I think he's more talented running back than Rob Kelly.
I'm not going to pay a premium price for him.
Never seen him play.
Did you hear who the GM said?
He's never played football before?
Have you seen him play before?
Did you guys see the best GM, the GM, Scott McClellan?
What? Where? I've seen the college film, and I've seen him play in the preseason.
All right.
More talented than Rob Kelly.
Have you guys seen who Scott McClellan, the former general manager of the Washington Redskins, yes, who he said was the best running back in that backfield?
Matt Jones.
Yes. The guy he picked.
Well, he picked all of them.
That's right. That's right. He still did all of that after.
They used his rankings.
Scott McClellan used to come to the draft.
Is that maybe trying to throw it out there for trade?
I'm not going to do that.
Scott McClellan used to come to the NFL draft. They used to be like mouse in the house.
That is incredibly false. Actually, because he's a very good drafter. Very good. He put that Niners team together. That was all him. Okay.
It was a funny joke, though.
It wasn't, because it was inaccurate.
Oh.
Let the Barbers be accurate.
You don't got to get so uptight about it. Calm down.
By the way, you talk about Sam Perine. Sam Perine is number 35 running back overall. Let's not forget that. Number 35 overall.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's, that to me, that's not a ninth or tenth rounder. You're 35th overall. Two spots away from Rob Kelly.
That's where you're
Kelly.
Getting him, though.
That's where you have him ranked.
Two spots ahead. Two spots ahead of Rob Kelly. That's it. You act like Rob Kelly was trashed 30 seconds ago, and then rank is a bye. Two. Rob Kelly's a starting.
I didn't say he was trashed. I said Samaje Perine's more talented.
You have Samaje Perine ranked 10 spots below James White in a PPR.
Yeah. So I like James White.
I like James White too.
Yeah.
But you have Samaje Perine 10 spots below him. Is that not?
Samaje Perine's got to earn the opportunity, though. James White is already involved.
So why do you have James White at 45 and Perine at 35? That's my question.
Oh, he's saying the reverse. I'm moving James White up, though.
Okay.
He's moving James White up.
He's saying when Perine gets in his opportunity, he's going to be Barry Sanders. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
You might as well say that, Scott.
Boy, you're really thinking black and white. There's no shades of gray for you, are there? Yeah.
No, when it comes to Perine,
it's either somebody's a first round pick or they're Lamar Miller and they're going to 40th.
I'm just telling you the truth about Perine. Wow.
I want the Perine truth to know the truth.
Scott,
he's going to start.
You're going to have to move Carlos Hyde up too.
What?
You're going to have to move Carlos Hyde up as well.
I probably will.
Yeah, because you
look good this weekend.
You have him below Frank Gore.
Like, what the hell, Scott? Do you watch football?
Yeah,
you watch football, Scott.
Yeah, I saw Dallas's defense get torn up Saturday night.
Scott?
The guy just asked me, "Oh, Bilal Powell scored a touchdown this weekend?"
No, I'm asking you.
Football? I watch every free preseason game this weekend.
How much extensive highlights do you watch? Do you understand?
Did Bilal Powell score this weekend, Scott? Did Bilal Powell score a touchdown? Really, he did. Really, he did?
One guy that Carlos Hyde right behind, we're going to talk about him next on the Roto Experts.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Scotty's rankings. It's available right now at rotoexperts.com.
Ding.
Exclusive Edge package.
Ding.
Use Sus Mania when you check out.
Ding.
Because you get a discount.
Ding.
There you go. What are running backs that
Carlos... Shout out to everybody in Houston. I hope everybody in Houston's doing all right. You know what I'm saying?
Thoughts and prayers.
Brandon Williams is doing okay. I think Jason Braddock's okay.
All right, good. Cool. I'll make sure everybody in H-Town is all right. That crazy weather this week.
Very good to hear, absolutely. Cool. And also, 362 days from now, happy birthday, Gene Simmons, as well.
Actually, my birthday coming up.
That's right. September 4th, right?
Yeah.
We're going to make it rain, King.
Yep.
Break it up.
I'm all for that.
He's like, the 1% is a good guy now.
Yeah.
I love
my friend.
I love that guy over there.
Yeah.
I will diversify as many rosters as possible.
When we make it rain, I'm glad to diversify.
Oh, God. All right. So, Carlos Hyde currently in his guy's PPR rankings updated 2 days ago. Carlos Hyde is number 28. CJ Anderson is number 27. CJ Anderson, the starter for Denver. I talked about this last week that I was, and I wondered if we had him too low because he seemed like the unquestioned starter. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Jamaal Charles split reps pretty evenly with CJ Anderson, and you know, for Jamaal Charles, I thought he actually looked kind of good.
I think CJ Anderson's still the guy. I think he had to split reps with him because he was actually making his audition to see if he made the team or not. So I think when they actually play, C.J. Anderson's still going to be the guy. Now, Jamaal Charles, he had some cutback moves. He had some speed, not quite as explosive as he used to be.
Sure.
But he surprised me. He looked certainly good enough to where this, to me, this talk from a talent perspective and what you see on film, I was actually a little surprised to say, okay, he's not going to make the team and everybody's writing him off. You know, he's not even draftable. I think it's C.J. Anderson's a lead guy, but I think Jamaal Charles would be in there for a change of pace. But I think C.J. Anderson's still the lead guy. Then when Devonta Booker comes back, I think it gets really crowded.
Matt, Jamaal Charles draftable?
He's draftable. I haven't drafted him, and I know he looked good this weekend, and I love the guy. I'm not going to own him this week, and I could see it now. He's especially coming off of this game. He's going to go higher than I'm willing to pay. I would take a late flyer on him. As good as he looked, I just don't know if he can hold up anymore. I mean, his knees have taken a beat.
Can't hold up anymore. Yeah, I'm surprised he got on the field this past weekend. I don't see him holding up anymore. If you want to put a dollar, make your holler on him a little bit later on in your draft, I don't have no problem with it. But you're going to end up sending his ass to the waiver wire. It's probably before October 1st.
Probably so. Jumping around here just a bit, we talked about some of these wide receivers a little bit earlier on, like the Willie Sneeds and whatnot. And there was a name that was on July 31st that was in this mix. And then from August 1st to August 24th, he was injured and didn't play. He didn't practice. He looked terrible. And we sat here, and Corey had many arguments with the Olin kid on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which, by the way, comes up in just 20 minutes from now, about this player. And then eventually Jake came around because the guy didn't practice. He didn't play. He was horrible.
John Brown.
And he comes in the three-season game and scores 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I got him an auction the other night for $1.
That was a big buck.
Got him the other night for $1. Yeah, he comes in. Listen, if he's healthy, he could have some action. I just don't like the Cardinals. I don't like Carson Palmer. I don't like the Cardinals thing. You can win without, you know, these players.
The Cardinals are going to be improved this year.
John Brown, can they win that division?
I think they can. I think they have a shot. I think they will be in the mix with our Scotty Seahawks.
I think with Palmer, I'm not with Corey on Palmer. I think when he's in there, he's still a pretty darn good quarterback and a high-end QB2. I don't trust Brown, though. You'll see him to 2 touchdowns, and then the following week he'll be 1 for 14. I think he's that kind of guy, boom or bust. It was interesting to see Brown and Charles. Those are two guys who've been getting damned, you know, for weeks on fantasy shows and really showed something more.
Where's Carson Palmer ranked at in y'all rankings?
I have him, like, just inside the top 20.
He's inside the top 20.
Yeah, I got him at 17.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why you're so down on Carson Palmer.
Look at what he's done the last 2
Because I have eyes.
If you look at his numbers.
Hey, did you watch the game on Saturday?
He had one bad month.
Yeah, did you watch
the numbers?
Do you watch football?
Go ahead, Matt.
Listen, Carson Palmer over the last 2 years has had one bad month. He has like over 8,500 yards, which only I think a handful of quarterbacks have over the last 2 years. Over 60 touchdowns over the last 2 years. So I look, I'm not telling you to go out and draft Carson Palmer. I'm not saying he's even got to be your. But if you needed a number 2,
yeah.
I think this Cardinals defense is going to be better. They have David Johnson. And look, if David Johnson's going to have a he's going to have 1,000 yards receiving, and you got Larry Fitzgerald still there. And the thing about John Brown, if you do draft him, the one good thing is if he does get hurt for anything, you just automatically cut him. You don't wait for him to heal.
Yeah, they look pretty good against a pretty good defense on Saturday, I think.
Tell you what, I'm sitting here. I just said this to you. I have no idea who I should have, Eli Manning or Carson Palmer. And I'm leaning Palmer.
I would go with Eli for the upside. If Eli, you know, you got Beckham, you know, you got that trio. The Ingram for that system, I think, fits it perfect. Look, they don't run the ball. They don't do rushing touchdowns. 11 in 2 years is anemic.
Well, a lot of it is just that first 2 weeks. It's Carson Palmer's in Detroit and in Indianapolis.
If you played a quarterback chicken, if you're somebody that doesn't
Well, the position I'm in, and I bring this up, is that I own Andrew Luck. So then I had Luck. I backed him up with Eli, and I'm wondering.
That's better.
Eli's better?
In my opinion.
I mean, Eli has the Cowboy defense.
That's true. Week
one. It's gonna be a low scoring game.
Probably so.
Mm-hmm.
Probably so.
It's over the clock.
We've also seen plenty of high scoring games between these two teams. Obviously.
Those days are over.
Not last year. You think those days are over?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of the Cowboys, by the way, you've been the Alfred Morris guy.
Yeah.
All summer, and Alfred Morris. Once again, they look good in that third preseason game for Dallas. Are you still saying that Alfred Morris is a guy that you need to pay attention to?
He'll be a part of a timeshare with Darren McFadden. So, and you can get him 10 rounds later. You see what I'm saying? So,
correct.
I jump on Alfred Morris, the younger back. I think he's a better talent. Doesn't have the pass catching ability that Darren McFadden possesses, but Alfred Morris can bang it between the tackles, and I wouldn't be surprised if Morris got the goal line work too.
He's the inside runner, and you know McFadden is more of the slasher type.
I don't know if I want to bring it down like that, Scott. Like Darren McFadden,
they're different styles.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But Darren McFadden can certainly run inside.
I like Morris better as an inside runner. Is what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with Corey there. I still think McFadden's the lead dog there.
In my last two drafts, the one prior to Saturday night, I drafted McFadden in the 8th round. I got Morris later on,
mm-hmm.
And then Saturday night,
did you own Zeke?
No, I did not own Zeke in that one. Saturday night, I did take Zeke 20th overall. I got McFadden in the 8th, and Morris, I was still able to get like 16th, 17th.
So, in a 20-round draft, you own three Cowboys.
I own Kareem Hunt, the Cowboys backfield, James White, Devonta Foreman, and Charles Sims.
Yeah, and I had my draft champion Saturday night. I had three Giants. Evan Ingram, Sterling Sharp, Sterling Shepard, and Eli Manning.
Well, that's not really three running backs for the same team,
I just
though.
Said three Giants, I said.
Okay. Yeah.
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, can I make a mistake?
Can I just make sure I wasn't tripping? All right.
Yeah, you are.
We mentioned Jamal Charles at the top of the segment here. Colts coaches are comparing Marlon Mack to Jamal Charles.
That's a good thing right there. I think Marlon Mack is in that stash and cash range right now. Mm-hmm. He's probably got a better shot of cashing than Sam Perine does. So Marlon Mack can play. It's just a situation in Indianapolis. It's so thrown off right now with no Andrew Luck back there, so it's kind of difficult to get involved with any of those players, especially dudes like role players like Mac.
But yeah, and also
Robert
they have
Turbin
no center.
Going away though,
they have no center.
Scored 7 touchdowns last year.
Who?
Robert Turbin.
Yes, he did. But I think no question about it. But I think Marlon Mack, maybe not this year. I think Marlon Mack's gonna be a player.
Yeah, I think maybe it might be next year.
It's possible. It's possible.
Same with Sam Perine next year.
Speaking of running backs, Bill Belichick came out and said Mike Gillisley has ground to make up.
Because he was out with that injury, so he'd be in a timeshare with Burkhead.
Do you believe him, though? Like, I feel like
he's saying that, and then
Gillisley's going to run the ball 30 times in week one.
It could that very well be the case. You can't believe anything about
make
that
it
man
up.
Mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I still believe Gillisley. Look, they run the ball a ton. They're going to score a ton of points. I still want Gillisley shares, especially as he's moving on down. But Rex Burkhead, to me, he's pushed up as well due to
too high
to Gillisley being out. But Burkhead might even see. I wouldn't be shocked if he has some plays in the slot as well. This is like a Swiss Army type player. He's a talented guy that was a special teamer in Cincinnati. Really never got a shot behind Hill and Bernard. So I still like Rex Burkhead a lot. Anytime I get to that double digits or beyond and he's on the board, I'm taking it.
So for all of that, what you said, a Swiss Army knife, play in the slot, come out of the backfield, do a little bit of everything. That's great, and that's true. But is he ever going to be somebody that you're going to want to put in your starting lineup, that you're going to feel comfortable in doing so?
I'm
going to
have him on my bench, but as the season... I mean, what if Gillislee gets hurt? Right. Then he's
what
like,
if
Burke
gets hurt?
Yeah, well, I mean, if Burke gets hurt and you have Gillislee, that's a home run that you don't have to worry.
Right.
I still think Gillislee, if he finishes out... This is the way I look at the preseason. Sam Perine started god-awful. You know, fumbling, pass protection wasn't there. His preseason has gotten better. Rob Kelly has outshined him, no doubt about it. So there is ground to make up there. Gillislee was the guy and stuff. Then he misses 2 weeks. Burkhead gets the opportunity, shows you what he can do. We don't know what it's going to be. But I definitely want one of the three guys in Gillislee, Burkhead, or White. I think White might be the safest play right now. But I want a piece of that backfield. I want it as my bench
for the
two running backs. Because if one of them does get that role, that can help you win a championship right there. They're not starters. And we don't have to pay the price for... I'm not saying pay 6th round for Gillislee. He's come down. Or if you get Burkhead. What you're looking for is to have guys on your bench that, like a Jonathan Williams, if the opportunity arises, your team can just blow up.
I think the difference in New England, though, is Jonathan Williams will be the guy. With New England, you just don't know week to week who's going to have that role.
It's a fair point. Hey, when we come back, we wrap up the program by talking about one man that Corey has been on from the beginning. I want to know where to take him now. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, as I said, Corey, there's one guy I wanted to ask you about and his value because he has not played a single down this preseason.
Nope.
And I don't even know if he's healthy.
Who is he?
It's your boy Corey Davis.
Yeah, me. We don't know. I think Corey Davis is slated. I think we'll see Corey. Do we get our first look at Tennessee Titan rookie wide receiver Corey Davis on Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken, when they play in the 4th preseason game? He's not going to play in that one either?
I think what I saw yesterday was they were going to hold him out.
Yeah, I
hope so because that'll just further depress him because I've been looking past double digits, and he's a guy that I'm willing to stash in cash, but I want to get him like around 12.
I agree. I'm willing to stash and cash with him, too.
Let the value drop on
Corey Davis. So, but for everything that we've heard, that he's going to be ready to go for week one. They kind of like where he's at right now. So, it might be a slower start to the season. So, but I'm willing to take Corey Davis, put him on my bench. So, I'm rocking with the young man. Interesting to see how these Tennessee Titan wide receivers go in double-digit rounds, 10-11.
The other kid, Tywan Taylor, looked good in the preseason.
Yeah, he had a first-team carry, I saw, I believe. Yeah,
Tywan Taylor is like the draft champion's darling for me. I have him everywhere. The only problem he has, really, is there's so many people in front of him that he's being blocked by. You got Matthew, you got Jack Decker, you got Davis. So
he made a nice catch yesterday. No, he's a nice catch and run yesterday.
He's going to be a really good player.
I picked him in my Dynasty League. I like the kid.
The Titans wide receivers Corey mentioned is definitely something you have to watch because I just don't know how it shakes out, and that's what's frustrating me.
It's also interesting to see how they're drafted, though. I think that's always interesting to see what they do on draft boards. Deck is moving up right now, and Davis is slipping, and Rashad Matthews is kind of holding steady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way,
I still
think there's a lot to like when it comes to Rashad Matthews. And Delanie Walker, week one against the Raiders. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
Martavis Bryant played pretty solidly, had a lot of run.
The interesting thing about Martavis Bryant is you know he can take a top off of defense, but they kept throwing like curls and slants and short stuff, to get him more acclimated into the high percentage stuff, which is kind of exciting.
Absolutely.
Maybe he's going to be more a complete guy.
I agree with you. You're totally right. They know they can take the top off. They know they can run him deep. They clearly were on a mission to prove that he could be a short and intermediate route guy along with Antonio Brown. And you saw that a little bit in the preseason last week.
Yeah, you saw it yesterday, yeah. Saturday, yeah.
Yep, exactly. You also saw a little bit from Amir Abdullah, who is a name that I know nobody really wants, but I think I might be underrating him a little
bit. No, he's one guy that I don't own that I think that could come back and bite me.
I think so, too. And I don't really want him, but I'm wondering if that's a mistake.
Nobody does. But look, you know, he's going to be the starter. There's some talent there, but can he hold up? You know, it's commensurate where he's drafted.
And maybe $25 league, you know what I'm saying? As a running back, 3-4, sure. I'm not putting no stakes behind that.
No stakes behind him, Aaron Doolittle. Capital. Where do I have a Doolittle? I have a Doolittle at 27.
Yeah, I think I have him somewhere in that range.
All right, so we're all kind of close. Yeah. You know, kind of recording.
70.
Amir Abdullah and Lamar Miller.
We wrap up the show today talking or mentioning at least the fact that, as I said before, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're starting Chad Henne in week 3 of the preseason, clearly tried to use it as a motivational tactic for Blake Bortles, as Blake Bortles was immediately announced as the starting quarterback once again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we said previously when we thought Henne could be the quarterback, it's really good for Allen Robinson, it's really good for Marquise Lee and some of these weapons. But Bortles is back, man, and that's got to depress the value again of Allen Robinson and the rest of the pass catchers in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and how does it affect Leonard Fournette? You know, because your defense is going to stack the box. How many scoring drives can he actually finish off?
That is the question that will have to be answered. And, well,
don't forget about Marcus.
Also, don't forget about Blake Bortles in the fourth quarter. Things usually go well in the fourth quarter, Blake Bortles. For Wall Street, Matt Modica. For the King, Scott Angle. And for CP, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. The Fantasy Football Frenzy is coming your way next. Have a fantastic day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.